We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
All right, I want to finish off a series. I said I was going to finish it off 2 weeks ago, but then at the end of it, I said I can't not do one more message on David, and that is on David the worshiper. And at the end of this service, I want to give time for us to do just that. I want to do just a bit of teaching on worship this morning. And then at the end of that message, still within the time that we have allocated, I want us to spend some time just in worship and see where God takes us. Is that okay? So here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to go through the last 5 weeks what we've already taught. I will say we'll be packaging it after today and putting together a 6-series video, a DVD, as well as an audio, not a DVD. Although I think we could do both. And we want to make that available to you because I think this has been a great series. How many of you enjoyed the series on David? Let me tell you what the next season of Wave Church is going to look like. The next season of Wave Church is going to look a little bit like what I'm about to do this morning. And that is, I want to spend some time preaching, teaching the word, but then I want to spend some time just leaning into God and praying for people and ministering to people. I kind of feel like in this COVID dilemma, I'm almost amused. I don't know about the rest of you, but I almost wonder what it's going to look like after the election. Does anybody else wonder about that? I wonder how real it'll be after the election, once we find out who our president will be, which I don't think will be anytime soon after the election. It might take a few weeks to figure that out. But I do know this, that one of the things it's actually limited our ability is to pray for people, to lay hands on people, to minister to people. And I understand that because we're in this COVID season. But I don't want that to be the case. I want to make sure we keep seeing people come to a faith in Christ. And I want to make sure we keep praying for the sick and praying for people. And so I'm going to lean into that these next couple of months. Amen, church? And you're going to see some real intentionality of that. But here we go. I want to talk to you about David the worshiper. And I've often thought, how did David receive such favor from God that the Bible would speak so well of David that Jesus would literally come out of the lineage, the ancestry, Jesus, the Son of God, out of David and Bathsheba, knowing what we know about David and his sin with Bathsheba. And you kind of think to yourself, what is that? And the Bible, God speaks so well of David. Listen what it says. It says in 1 Samuel 13, verse 13, this is Samuel speaking to Saul, the king of Israel, and God saying there'll be another one. It says, you have done a foolish thing. He's talking to Saul. Samuel said, you have not kept the command of the Lord that the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. Watch this. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler over his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Now, there's a lot jacked up about Saul, let me tell you. And I wish I had time to talk a little bit more about him to help us understand just what Saul did that caused God to reject him. And when you think about it, God would rather a person who actually committed adultery and murder over what Saul did. And I think to myself, what was it that caused David to have such favor? And I believe it was David's heart. David had a heart after God. Matter of fact, I actually think it had everything to do with his heart. Look what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. And this is now that same prophet, Samuel, standing before Jesse, and Jesse gets his sons, and the first and the oldest son is the one you would present first because the firstborn son is the one that gets the blessing of God as the firstborn son. So there's this guy called Eliab, who, when you read the story of Eliab and the description of Saul and the description of Eliab, they are identical in size and stature. And look what the prophet says. It says in verse 6, when they arrived, Samuel the prophet saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. He looked at the outer appearance, the size. The Bible says Saul was head and shoulders above the rest, and so was Eliab. So it made sense to Samuel, based on the outer appearance, that you want a towering, powerful presence of a leader. And if Saul's gone, we need someone of equal stature to match that. And so he looks at Eliab. But look what the Bible says. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things as people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? Heart. I believe God's giving us a clue to what it was about David that got God's favor. And David had a heart after God. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 22. When he had removed him, this is speaking of Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man, watch this, after my own heart, who will do all of my will. Now, how many know David did all of God's will, but he also did some things that wasn't God's will. He did all of God's will, but he did other things that God never willed. You with me here? But the thing that the Bible says about David is David had a heart after God. Can I tell you, when we talk about David the worshiper, you cannot consider his heart. His heart was one of worship. He grew up worshiping. He grew up writing. He didn't know that the songs that he wrote out there looking after the sheep, maybe writing, the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe he was just reflecting about him being a shepherd and thinking about his relationship with the Lord. And he began to describe what it is for him in the natural to look after sheep as what it was for God to take care of him. The Lord is my shepherd. Little did he know that God would take all of his writings and put it in the best-selling book in the history of the world. As a matter of fact, little did he know, one of the songs he wrote actually in the book of Revelation will be actually what we read is what we'll be singing in heaven, that the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims when we get to heaven will all be singing a song that David wrote. Forget what song you wrote that made it on a pop chart. Forget what song you wrote that made it on an album. Heaven, for all of eternity, is going to be singing a song that David wrote. Wow! I mean, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? And so let's look at David's heart. The Bible says there's a lot of things about David's heart that God loved. David's heart was humble. And the Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 9, surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. David's heart was humble. David's heart was reverent. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise. David's heart was respectful. Be merciful to me, O God, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak in sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. He was actually respectful to God. His heart was trusting. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I love that, don't you? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let me put it this way. Of what shall I be afraid? I will not fear COVID. I will not fear sickness. I understand it exists. I understand it's real. I understand it's a problem. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to let fear take over my life in Jesus' name. Amen. I will walk with wisdom. Are you hearing me? David's heart was trusting. David's heart was loving. David's heart was devoted. David's heart had recognition. Listen to this. I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Watch this. With all my heart, I will tell of your wondrous deeds. He was always recognizing the Lord. David's heart was faithful. This is my favorite. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I tell you something about everybody watching online right now? Can I tell you something? You are just as true as that verse as those sitting here in this service right now. We are faithfully dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, somebody say amen. Faithful in Jesus' name. David, his heart was obedient. His heart was repentant. Listen to what he said in Psalm 25. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. I love it. So I want to talk to you about David the worshiper just for a few moments. Do you realize that David loved the presence of God? That David wrote Psalms like this. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. He knew there was a place for worship. He knew there was a place where he would meet and gather in the house of God, and he loved the presence of God, and he loved the house of God. Listen, the Bible says, come boldly into the throne room of grace in Jesus' name. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of our God. And in today's COVID world, it would be David saying, I was glad when they said, it's time to get online. Thank you for that underwhelming response. The second thing about David the worshiper was David was unafraid to worship with all his heart. Look what the Bible says here. It says in 2 Samuel 6, verse 14, wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord, watch this, with all of his might. Now, I don't know how skilled a dancer David was. I don't know that he had any dancing skills. The Bible doesn't say that David was a terrific dancer. But one thing David did do is he was a worshiper. He had a heart after God, and he danced before the Lord with all of his might. In other words, David was unafraid to worship with everything he had. And I want to say to us as a church that I feel like for us, this is a season for us to lean into God and to be worshiping like never before, to be coming into the presence of God and experiencing the power of that presence. He didn't hold back. He danced with all his might. Number three, David wouldn't let other people's cold hearts stop him from expressive worship. Look what the Bible says when David's wife saw him and she despised him. It says, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, and this is his wife, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today, going around half naked, in full view of the slave girls and of his servants as any vulgar fellow. Now listen, Michal had reason to be bitter and hurt with David. David brought her back after her being married to someone else, but she was still legitimately married to David. And it was an illegitimate marriage to be married a second time while you're still married a first time. And David had right maybe to bring her back. But let me tell you something. When David was dancing before the Lord, she despised him. She was bitter and she was embarrassed. And David didn't let her cold heart stop him from dancing and worshiping. David wasn't going to let someone else's mediocrity dial down. The Bible says he danced with all of his might. I think sometimes we live with the fear of man. I think sometimes we're afraid to really express our abandoned worship to God, afraid of what other people will think about us. Can I tell you something? The Lord loves my voice. I mean, you may not, and I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. But let me tell you something. The Lord takes delight every time we worship. And sometimes I think the fear of man will stop us from abandoning ourselves to the one and only person that loves our worship and longs to hear it. But we let the fear of man, what will someone else hear me sing? What will they think? God loves it when you worship Him. I would say almost 100% of the time when I'm in the car by myself, I start worshiping God and singing some songs. And I got to tell you, I don't know what anybody else might. No one's ever put me on an album. No one's asked me to hold a microphone and sing on a platform. But let me tell you something. I sing for the audience of one. And I don't care what people think. And sometimes I think we can allow the fear of man to hold us back from really expressing our worship. And David wasn't going to let someone's cold heart stop him in Jesus' name. There's a whole nother thought about that, but we'll just keep moving. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Number four, David's worship was always God-centered. Look what it says in 2 Samuel 6:21. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father. Well, that's having a bit of a dig. Or anyone else in his house. And he appointed me to rule over the Lord's people. And I will celebrate before the Lord. You know what Michal said? Michal said it was before the maidservants. Michal said it was before the female slaves. And you were just strutting and showing off. And you took off your kingly robes and you debased yourself. And you didn't distinguish yourself. And David says, no, honey, listen. I was dancing before the Lord. And can I just tell people here at Wave Church and everybody in every campus, when we get together in the house of God, there's something powerful about corporate worship, and it must be Christ-centered. It must be God-centered. And when we worship, it's not just good music. It's not just a good sound. It is before the Lord, and our worship must always be God-centered. Amen. Christ-centered, God-centered. It's not just noticing the guitar riff. It's not just listening to the music and looking at the screens. Jesus is the center of our worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not only that, but David's worship, he was willing to go further and he was willing to go deeper. Look what he says. I will become even more undignified to this. Now, David didn't think he was undignified. But Michael, in your eyes, I'm not living my life in your eyes. It was before the Lord. And if you thought that was bad, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. What David was saying was, I'm willing to go further. I'm willing to go deeper. I'm not done finding ways to express my love for God. I love that. Don't you love that? And I got to tell you something. I think about Ezekiel. And I think about how the Bible says in Ezekiel that, and I'm speaking prophetically. This is the Sunday I speak to all our campuses. And I want to say this to all of our campuses. I believe God wants to take us like in Ezekiel. There's a river. And the Bible says it's the river of God. And the first one Ezekiel got in, the water was ankle deep. But then God said, son, go further. And then it was knee deep. And then the Lord said, son, go further. And then it was waist deep. Notice God didn't say, just dive in the deep end. God says, come on, just get in the water. And just get used to the water. And then he goes, come on, just go a little deeper. Go a little further. That's one of the keys to David. He goes, listen, I will become even more undignified than this. In your eyes, Michael, but not in mine. If you saw this as embarrassing, as you saw, I'm willing to go further. And I'm speaking to us as the pastor of Wave Church. I believe we've got to be willing to go deeper into the river of God. And for anyone who's at ankle deep, could I invite you to go to knee deep? And if you're at knee deep, can I invite you to go to waist deep? And if you're waist deep, can I invite you to begin to swim into the river? You ought to read that book in the Bible called Ezekiel about that story, because I don't have time to unfold that. That's a whole sermon in and of itself. It says that when Ezekiel went into the river, it says there was just banks with no trees. But when Ezekiel came out of the river, it says, look now, and there were trees and bloom and garden and maturity and growth. And just, it's an amazing story, because the deeper you go with God, the further you go with God, the more mature you become, the more established you become. And that's why there's too many shallow Christians. And I want to say, come on, let's go deeper into the God's presence as a church in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you ought to give the Lord a thunderous hand of praise right there. Come on, just say to someone next to you, let's go deeper. Come on, everybody in every campus. Come on, Wilson, turn to the person next to you and say, go deeper in Jesus' name. And I got to close because my time is up. I want to spend some time actually doing this. But you know, Jesus faced challenges in regard to worship. The devil said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you what you came for. This whole earth is mine. I can give it to whoever I want. It's all found in the early gospels. And how that Jesus refused to bow down to that temptation. And the Bible says it was a temptation. It says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert, listen to it, to be tempted by the devil. It was a temptation for Jesus to take the shortcut, to actually get what he came for by worshiping the devil. And let me tell you, the devil still tempts you and I today. Worship me my way, and I'll give you what you want. Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. You bow down and worship me. Some people worship their Sundays. Not you. You're watching. But there's a whole lot of people who worship themselves, and they think their time is more valuable than being in the house of God and giving God time. There's a whole lot of people. Let me tell you, Bob Dylan, we're just having a bit of a revival in the car. That's what I remembered. I forgot. I just remembered it. We were talking about Bob Dylan and how he wrote a song that I think is one of the best songs he ever wrote. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Either way, you're going to serve somebody. And Jesus had to face the temptation of not just taking the easy way to avoid sacrifice. Did you hear it? It was a temptation. The devil said, I'll give you everything you came for. Just do it my way. And let me tell you, the world says, I'll give you what you want, but just do it my way. And I want to say to people, come on, let's be people who actually worship God and we do it His way. Do you know the Pharisees tried to quieten down people when they got loud and they said to Jesus, they're getting too loud, quieten them down. And Jesus said, if these people don't praise me, the stones will cry out. What does that tell me? Yes, be still and know that He is God. But God is not afraid of noise. The Bible says that people will always try to quieten down the church. And I say the church ought not to be silenced. We ought not to lose our praise. We ought not to lose our passion. We ought not to lose our expressionate, passionate, abandoned worship. We don't want to be too cool for school. We don't want to be too cool for the Holy Spirit with our arms folded and just looking around us. No, my friend, go deeper into the presence of God, where in His presence there's fullness of joy. At His right hand there are mercies forevermore. Amen. My time's up. In Hebrews, and I wished I had time to unpack this. Maybe I'll teach this in and of itself. Just going through the book of Hebrews, I'm in it now. I got into David, now I'm into Hebrews. Praise the Lord, which is a great book, by the way, because that means God makes coffee. Hebrews. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Java. And look what the Bible says. It says in Hebrews chapter 1 that He, Jesus, is superior to the angels. I've seen some people worship angels. I've seen some people chase demons and get fixated with demons and get fixated with angels. But Jesus is superior to the angels. That He is, listen to this, in Hebrews chapter 3, He is worthy of more glory than Moses. Moses, who had to wear a veil on his face for the glory of God. And it says that He is worthy of more glory than Moses. According to Hebrews 6, He is superior to Abraham, the father of our faith. According to Hebrews chapter 7, He is superior to every other priest. And according to Hebrews chapter 8, He establishes a better covenant between us and God and the one that God previously established. And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, He offers a better sacrifice to take away our sins than any other sacrifice ever offered on our behalf. The greatest miracle that will ever take place in Wave Church is always a human being making a decision to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not a building, and that's a great miracle. It's not somebody being raised from the dead. That's a great miracle. The greatest miracle that ever will be in Wave Church is to see one person who was not right with God get translated out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. To come out of a Christless eternity into a God-bound, God-filled, purpose-filled life, living for Jesus. There's only one way to live for Jesus. Full on, sold out, on fire for God. Amen? So I want to pray for you, everybody online. Already four people, as I've been preaching, have made decisions to give their life to Jesus. But I know there are people here. I know there's people on every campus that need to make this decision. And I'm going to do it fast. Are you ready for me? Look at me. Every eye open, every head up, everybody looking at me right now. If you say, Steve, remember I said it's Christ-centered? If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you to encounter Jesus. Not just church, Jesus. Not just songs, Jesus. Not just sermons, Jesus. Not just friends, Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, I want to pray today you walk out of here with Jesus. Maybe you once prayed a prayer, but you know today you're not living with Jesus like you once were. Oh, God, help us if we had church and we didn't have Jesus. I want to pray for you all over this building and every campus and online. If you say, Steve, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Every eye open, every head up, everyone looking at me, every camera and every online. I want you, if you're online, to click that button. But I want in every campus, if you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus, Steve, I need to get right with Jesus, I want you to have the courage right now to put your hand in the air and say, pray for me, Pastor. God bless you. Come on, who else? God bless you. Come on, who else? I'm looking for you. Come on, give it away. Give me a wave. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, wave. That's you. God bless you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know Jesus. I want to come back to Jesus. God bless you. Come on, every campus. Come on, up the very back. God bless you. Come on, who else today would say, Pastor, include me in that prayer? Online, click that decision. And come on, in Norfolk. Come on, Greenville. Come on, Wilson. Come on, Richmond. Come on, Seaboard. Anybody else? My last call. Amen. Amen. Let's all pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now in Jesus' name. Now, church, let's give God the best praise we've ever given. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.